Live. Hello.
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 How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. Welcome to episode 7.
It's weird asking that because, like, we just talked for like 20 minutes and already know how each other are doing. And I'm like, how are you doing now on air?
Cody, you know damn well how I'm doing.
We already talked about this.
You know doggone well how I'm doing. I got shocked a bunch at work today, and I'm living on the edge.
All fucking Doc Brown and shit. Like, so many gigawatts.
I'm ready.
We're going to talk about a lot of energy today.
So, that might not make sense, but I just
it will make sense.
I started a new career as an electrician, so I got zapped a lot.
Yeah,
so I got zapped a lot today, and that's why I said I got shocked a lot today.
What does he do? Yeah.
I didn't get shocked as in like I had startling news all day. I literally got everything
was alarming. Like, oh my gosh! Oh my god! Wow!
oh shoot! Oh wow! Oh gee whiz!
You just keep walking by newspaper stands, huh?
No, I literally got electrocuted all day.
Oh, let me let Chewy out real quick before we actually get into it.
I'll tell him I said hi.
All right. Chewy says hi. Bye.
Oh.
He heard Brenda and Leia get here, so he was like, let me out of here.
That made it sound like I just said hi bye to him, which is really rude.
Well, you did, because you said hi, but he was leaving, so it's bye.
But you said bye. You made it seem like I said hi bye.
CJ said hi, I said bye.
There
he's not here, so he doesn't care.
Yeah, he gets it.
He gets it. He understands.
I just don't want him to be upset.
He's not. He was more excited that his sister and his mom were home outside, so.
Oh, there you go. Okay, do you want to talk about anxiety?
Yeah. You said you got one.
I have a topic for you.
Okay.
And it's going to give you so much anxiety, I can't wait.
Fucking great.
I hope it does for you, too. Being stuck is a really large fear for me, and it's not claustrophobia. It's having an exit. So I get anxiety when I go into places like Walmart, Costco, like big buildings where I feel like if I need to get out, I won't have ample time to.
Gotcha.
And this used to stress me out at work a lot too, when I was working retail and I was the only person on the shift that could either open or close or something like that. Mm-hmm. And if I wanted to go, I couldn't go.
Oh, so that's like a figurative exit.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like if I'm stuck in a place either large or without a clear and present exit, I get really stressed out.
Okay, I get that. I would definitely say like I definitely have the physical aspect of that, of like if I'm like physically stuck, like cramped, like claustrophobic type.
That's claustrophobia. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely get that aspect, like of physically being stuck. And I think that comes from me being like piled on top of in a bounce house as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
With my face like pressed against like the net and I couldn't move.
Yeah, but, that'll do it.
Yeah, that'll do it. But I also get the other aspect of it, of being like not knowing where your exit is. That's also kind of scary.
Makes
you sound like kind of like you like are a secret agent on the side. You're like, I have to know where all my exits are. But
Wow, way to make it sound really cool to be scared.
Yeah, like you're just John Wick all the time. But like I think it's like, well, if someone is aware of their surroundings, like that would be something that scares you, because if you're aware of your surroundings, you're aware of your exits. And if you don't see one, like that can be kind of like nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I don't feel the part where it's like you don't feel like you can leave. Like I don't have that connection, but I get where you're coming from.
Well, it's like every new environment I walk into like a meerkat, basically. I look around, I see everything that's going on. I need to know what that does, how that works, what's that over there, who's that, tell me your name, I don't understand. Like, and I need to know, it's a control issue, it's a control issue, and it's like a fear issue, but at the same time, that happens only upon the entrance of the new environment.
Yeah.
Once I am in the new environment, that it kind of subsides and goes away.
Once you relax, like
once I know I'm in there and I'm like, okay, I'm in Walmart now, great, and I'm like, okay, let's just walk around Walmart. But like going into Walmart, I'm like, oh shit. See,
okay, I have that going into Walmart for a different reason,
but yeah
because I just like get a fucking headache and I'm like, oh my god,
I'm just persona I'm personifying Walmart because I had to go in there the other day. And it fucking, I almost lost my mind while I was in there. But
no, same. The last time I was in a Walmart was Brenda and I were going grocery shopping. We usually go to Trader Joe's.
Right.
And that's what I thought we were doing. And then she's like, no, I'm going to go to Walmart to save some money. And I was like, oh my God, why? And we were like, I was like, I thought we were going to Trader Joe's, which is like a field trip. And now I'm walking into this fucking pit.
No, you don't even understand. I went to fucking, okay, first thing I went to was Target. I went to Target first.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I was looking for a picture frame. Oh, so I went to Target, and then I went to an actual picture frame store.
Oh, that's fine.
They cost an extreme amount of money for some reason.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
Yeah, to get one, like it was like a 35 by 20 painting. Or print, it was like $300.
Oh, geez.
And that's, I was like, well, I'm not,
but still,
I was like, well, I'm not paying that. So then I went to Goodwill before.
Hey,
went to Goodwill. I went to two different Goodwills actually, and then I finally went to Walmart, and I was like, oh fuck, like here we go. Yeah.
I don't know. I think for me, it's more like I do like to be aware of my surroundings and exits. Like if I were to walk into Walmart or Target or anything, and I saw like once I walked in, I saw that the exit door was like broken or blocked. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, I don't like that.
Right.
Like that's concerning. Mm-hmm. Because if we're all running out, like I need that to work.
Yeah.
So that's usually my thought process. But I do the same thing too. Like if I'm going into like someone's house for the first time, like I look at everything because I have a pretty good photographic memory. Yeah. Where I can kind of like, I can remember not like that fucking ornament that they have over there, but I can remember like my way through the house,
right? Because I like, you know how to get back to square one.
Yeah, like I've got like, because I think out of everyone I know, you've moved like the most, and
true.
I literally remember how to get to all of your houses based off of like when I turn on the street.
Really?
Yeah, I can get to like all of your houses still.
Huh.
I have zero clue what street you live on ever.
But just muscle memory, you know.
I know
how to
muscle
get there.
Memory. Like I know when to turn based off landmarks and like.
Actually, yeah. You know what? Yeah, I have that a little bit too. I know how to get to your old house on Tostino's Pizza Roll Drive.
Yeah.
Which that's how I remember it in my head. It was something like Tostino's Pizza Rolls or Totino's Pizza Rolls. Toledo. It was Toledo.
It was Toledo. Yes.
Yeah, but I remembered it.
I knew that you were talking about Toledo. But yeah, yes.
But I remembered it like, oh, Totino's Pizza Rolls. When I come up to Totino's Pizza Rolls, I turn left.
Yeah.
And then yeah. But I think the biggest thing is like it's not necessarily like go like it's just like how long will I be in this place and what's gonna happen while I'm in here, and that's what like the biggest anxiety factor is, like will like how long do I have to spend my life into in a place that I really don't want to be.
Yeah, no, I get that, but I think to your original point though, like no, I feel that like being stuck in any sense is definitely nerve-wracking, and if it doesn't bother you, like that's also concerning. Like,
yeah, it is. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you're cool just fucking floating around like a piece of trash and like,
yeah,
like, oh,
you know,
I'm stuck.
Cody, you have such a good point. Like, people that aren't claustrophobic, like, what's your fucking problem?
Yeah. Do you like just being like, smashed?
Like, yeah, it's like, oh, I'm not scared at all right now. No, you're in like a 2x2 room and you can't leave. How are you not scared?
Yeah. Are you okay?
Like, it's like, oh, I guess I'll just go to sleep standing up in this 2x2 closet.
Are you a fucking cow?
I'll eat and drink water, which I need to survive when I can.
Yeah, it's like, I'm more concerned with the people that are just like, and I'm really easygoing. Like, a lot of things don't, like, bother me. But, like, if people are not concerned about something as basic as that, like, there's something fucking wrong with you.
Yeah, that's on you, sir. That's not a phobia anymore. That's a fucking problem that you have. Yeah,
I'm expecting you to react and you're not. Yeah. And now I'm concerned. Like,
yeah, how much time did you spend in lockers in high school, you fucking weirdo?
You nerd?
Like, yeah. Oh, I'm just good with small spaces. No, fuck you.
Spent so much time there, I'm fine.
Like, be scared. Look around. It's terrifying out there.
Oh, geez. Okay. Let's take a quick break and then we'll get into today's topic.
All right. We'll be right back.
Bye. We'll be right back. All right, we're back.
Hello.
Hello. I was like, are you going to say something?
Yeah, I'm right here with the hellos, bud.
Hello, right here. Always here with the hellos.
Yeah, I got your hellos on lock, friend.
All right. Cool. So, first I wanted to point out that I know our schedules have been a little wacky lately, and we're literally like recording these like the Friday before we post them, sorry to everyone. That's why our other one was like on Tuesday, not Monday, because we're not leaving Mark a whole lot of time to get things done. I think last week we recorded on Sunday, which was a little bit tight, but we're on Friday this time, which Mark was like, oh, that's perfect, because I'm going to be in Vermont all weekend. And I'll have plenty of time. And I was like, okay, ass.
Yeah. What a rich person thing to say.
So there you go, Mark. Mr. Yeah. I'm vacationing in Vermont for the weekend.
No. They don't say it like that. They say I'm weekending in Vermont.
Weekending in Vermont.
It's like, oh, my bad, buddy.
You know where I weekend? My fucking other bedroom. Yeah, no,
I weekend at my home like a normal person.
Weekend at the fucking grass outside my house.
Yeah, right. It's like sorry. I'm. I'll be busy on the slopes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what he's doing in Vermont. Maybe he's just like it's something important.
But... oh, he's probably wearing a really nice warm sweater and drinking hot chocolate right now. You fucker.
Oh. How's that blizzard?
Oh God, I'm so jealous. That sounds so nice right now.
Well, okay. I had to point that out. Well, so you have plenty of time, Mark.
Well, Mark, we love you and I hope you're having a good time. But fuck you at the same time.
Fuck you. Oh, geez. Okay. So, another guy we're going to say fuck you to. So, today we're covering basically Chernobyl, but in specifically, I was like, what's the fucking word? Anatoly Dyatlov for his fuck up that caused Chernobyl.
Right.
His negligence of like fucking authority.
Right. People fuck up at work all the time, but this guy has the most documented fuck up on the job recorded in history.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, I had, like, the other day at work, I had someone steal, like, a stack of t-shirts that I was unaware of. That's right. My fuck up. I didn't fucking nuke an entire fucking area. Right. Like,
but then again, if that happens, you're not going to get the death penalty. So
exactly. Okay. So... you know, I felt real shitty about those t-shirts, but like,
yeah. What if that happened in like normal jobs? Like, oh hey, my I asked for like, you know, a bean burrito, but I got a bean and cheese burrito. It's like, oh well, fuck, sorry, I'm gonna go kill the guy that made it, I guess.
I'm really sorry you said that because I gotta kill him.
Yeah, oh dang. you're gonna kill Cody.
He just started. Like,
it's his first day on the job, but he's got to die now.
He's got to die. Sorry, you said it. He made a mistake.
Sorry.
Catastrophic mistake.
Would you like to watch him die? Right. As a reward for fucking up your
also,
order?
Also, we'll make sure that burrito is correct.
we'll warm the burrito with his electrocuting buns.
Buns. Okay, so... Anatoly Dyatlov. I really like the name Anatoly. I think it's really, it's just like so Russian.
It sounds like something else too. It sounds like a word for something.
Sounds like a cannoli.
Or no, like it's like if you did something completely, it's like, oh, and I totally did it.
And it's like that redneck talk where it's like one word, but it's a whole sentence.
Hey, did you complete that job? And totally.
Or it's like someone trying to say like anatomically, like is anatomically correct. That diagram is not anatomically correct. Like,
yeah. Hey, did you hook up with this girl last night? Oh yeah, Anatoly.
Oh, that's awesome. So he was born March 3rd, 1931. So we almost have the same birthday.
Oh, close. Yeah, March 7th.
Pretty close. So he's also a Pisces. So good for him, I guess. Like the fish. So he's born to a really poor family near the penal settlements of Krasnoyarsk, whatever. I don't even know how to say that. I also don't know like where that is or what that means, but it sounds bad. Like just saying a penal sentiment doesn't sound good. But I didn't bother to look up what a penal sentiment was
over there. Well, obviously it's a village made out of penises, clearly.
No, obviously, of course, of course.
Clearly.
I missed the word where it said flaccid penal sentiment.
Oh no, it's a hard penal sentiment.
It's a hard penal sentiment.
A boner settlement.
Jesus, what have we become? So at age 14, which I gotta, okay, I respect him for this. This is age 14. He says, I'm fucking out of here. And he runs away from home just to get an education.
Oh, that's brave. That's brave.
Super brave. Like, yeah. I literally couldn't imagine being a fucking freshman and saying, like, I'm out of here. Like,
oh, no, it wouldn't even be that. It would be you're running to the opportunity to be a freshman.
No, totally. I was saying, like, that's the age you are. Like, for you, you're basically a freshman.
And but he did like, it for education. It would be like, fuck this town, I'm going to high school. But like, he just, what
like, ran away. Like, the maturity level of a 14-year-old is like, at least over here, maybe they're just, you know, they're probably just tougher in Russia.
They build different.
Yeah. Like, home like is where I make it. Like,
yeah, it's like that old fucking Ford statement, built Russia tough.
Built Russia tough. So, yeah, he runs away from home, gets an education. Long story short, he ends up graduating from the Moscow Engineering and Physics Institute with honors in 1959.
Wow, smart kid.
Yeah, like, he really excelled. Like, I guess running away from home was the best thing he ever did. A real rags to riches.
Mm-hmm. Definitely hell to heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, which I guess I'm like, there's only so high you can go in communist Russia, but like,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, in 1973 is when he actually starts his job at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant in Pripyat. So not only did he have the technical experience for this, because he spent a lot of his like first engineering job was working on nuclear submarines, where he oversaw the installation of the reactors into the submarines.
That's really fucking cool.
Super cool. Like that sounds cool. Like everyone like knows the term nuclear submarines, but like they kind of just don't sound like they're real. But like,
it's just like submarines. Like submarines are, I think sometimes submarines are cooler than like aircraft, because submarines are like the pressure that they could take, like how dire the situation is when you're down there. I just think like being on a submarine is like really cool.
I think they're insanely cool, and it's it. Also, I think people insanely understand how big they actually are, because you have to imagine like a pirate ship,
right?
Like with like barracks underneath it, with
right.
supplies and an engine, all that stuff wrapped in a fucking tube. And throw, like submarines are fucking awesome.
Well, it's fucking dude. It's like super Jules Verne. It's like, you know, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Like it's fucking cool as fuck.
Yeah, submarines are fucking rad. Yeah. I personally would not make them nuclear. That sounds terrible. That sounds like a really bad idea. I would not put a nuclear engine in a tube underwater.
Right. You should have stopped at, can I survive in this tube underwater? Not, will this tube underwater kill everything?
Especially when, like, they were already so successful during World War II. Like, U-boats were the shit. Mm-hmm. Why did you have to make them nuclear? Like,
right.
Like, it's just like, okay, like, whatever. Just trying to one up everyone, but
yeah, why are they weaponizing all this cool shit? Just leave it cool.
So like I said, like, so he was technically qualified for the job. He was also qualified in radiation poisoning, because doing that job he succumbed to a massive amount of radiation poisoning, up to 200 rems, which is like absurd. And it's also like, to put it in perspective, when we get to the event that we're going to talk about, he was exposed to 350 rems. So he's already been exposed to more than half of that amount just working on the submarines, and it like caused like that's enough to cause like massive diarrhea, cancer in some people, like like a ton of like health problems. But he like was just exposed to that and like fine. He even survived the 350 from the Chernobyl incident.
Let me ask you this real quick. Is it one of these situations where, like, you know how people that are really good at handling like rattlesnakes and stuff?
Yeah.
Like they get built a bit a couple times, and then they're just good at getting bit by rattlesnakes. Is it one of those things where have like a small level of radiation poisoning, can you build up an immunity to radiation poisoning?
No, I don't think so. I think radiation poisoning is like, because you can't really build an immunization to rattlesnake venom. Like, it's a venom. Like, it breaks down cells, whereas like, radiation is like poisoning at the maximum level. I don't think you could like be like conditioned for it.
You can't be like really good at getting radiation.
Yeah, poisoning. Like, you don't just like become like, you don't just turn into the Hulk and just get stronger. Like,
oh yeah, you can't Bruce Banner it.
Yeah, like yeah. I think it's just one of those things. Like, there's nothing your body can do to fight it. Like, so just because he was exposed to it before, like, I meant that more as a joke. Like, he's just good at getting poisoned. Like,
oh, not good at getting poisoned. He just gets poisoned a lot.
Yeah, like, he's already fucking done this because of negligence. Like,
right. So he's like, okay, good. He's not good at getting poisoned. He just gets poisoned.
Exactly. Yeah, it just happened to him before. Like,
so, oh, poor guy.
Which it adds into like the negligence of these procedures that Russia was involved with. And all of these nuclear procedures, they were more about speed and cheapness than actual like proper regulations. And it was the Cold War. It was the race to beat us.
Right.
Which actually brings up a really interesting note that I read a long time ago. I think I told you this once, and it's like the perfect time for me to bring it up on here. Is the term third world country. It was actually, from what I read, was developed during the Cold War as a reference to a nation that was not on our side or the Russians. Not a wealth or an economy standing. We were first nation, Russia was second nation, third nation was anyone who didn't take a side.
Oh, that's so weird. I've always heard the term third world expressed in like either like development procedure. I've always heard third world is either like it was economic status or development status. Like, what is the production value coming from the country and what is the discovery product coming from the country?
Exactly. That's what I was raised to think too. Like, oh, like first world problems or like it's a third world country. I read an article where like the actual origin of that term actually had nothing to do with that. It was during the Cold War when everyone was supposed to take a side and the third world nations were the ones who did not.
That's really cool, Cody. Thanks for bringing that up. That's good to know.
I hope I'm right. I read it somewhere. Hopefully it's true, but
yeah, well, hey, let's just say it's true and move on.
I thought it was interesting. Okay. So anyway, so that's basically Anatoly. So obviously there's really not much to him because like his, the bulk of his story is at Chernobyl. So obviously you're going to talk about what happened at Chernobyl. What went wrong though was the test. The test is what, like, or quote unquote test is what caused the disaster. So I kind of wanted to talk about what was like what the test was supposed to be and what was supposed to happen.
Okay.
And then kind of what went wrong, but what went wrong is kind of hard to explain. So we'll get to that point and I'm gonna get dumber as it goes.
Actually, so. I kind of summed up I didn't sum up the test itself. I didn't talk about that at all.
Yeah.
But I talked about the, like, what happened absolutely. So this should be perfect.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, when we get to that point, we'll bounce off each other. Okay. And hopefully I'm not brain dead by that point because I definitely was trying to write this. So
okay. Okay, yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So what was the main purpose of the test? The main purpose was for the cooling system to be stress test, basically the whole cooling system. There was in parts. It was a electrical powered water pump system, which was the main cooling factor for the power plant. In the event of a shutdown, whether accidental or planned, the electrical part would be turned off and it would be taken over by three diesel powered generators, which would kick in and start producing like the power needed to pump the water in. But the problem was those diesel generators took about 60 to 75 seconds to kick in to reach full speed. they believed that the steam turbines that were installed, because like there's steam constantly being produced from the explosions, their rotation would produce enough electrical output to keep the pumps going while the diesel engines picked up speed. But like, that's what they believed. What they knew was that those steam turbines can only produce enough power to cover that gap for about 45 seconds, which is already less time than what it takes for the generators to get up to speed. Mm-hmm. So there's already a fucking giant problem there. Also, they've tried this test two or three times before and it's failed every time. So they know that the system does not work. Like I said before, it's a matter of what costs and is cheap to do. So they're literally working with...
I'm literally... This is the first time in an episode I'm taking notes as we go.
I know. I was like, are you writing? Like,
I am. I'm just so interested right now.
It's very... This part's very interesting. So basically, they have a nuclear power plant that, like, if they turn it off, they have no idea how to keep the cooling system running.
Right.
And for the span of 1 minute. 1 minute, which is not a lot of time, but a lot goes wrong in 1 minute.
This is like the first time I've been drunk at school.
So what they thought was, why not just try the test again? Let's just do it again and see if it fucking works, even though we know it's failed twice. So the main reason that the cooling system is crucial is because of fusion decay heat. So as nuclear fission happens, about, I think it's like 6%, Mark can correct me, about 6% of that.
Good fucking luck, Mark.
Good luck, buddy. I'm a fucking nuclear scientist. So, about 6% of that fusion explosion is what's called decay heat. And that decay heat can be very toxic to the plant if it's allowed to build up over time, which is going to sound contradictory to what I'm going to say later, but that's how I understood it. So the whole point of the cooling system is to rapidly cool that decay heat and keep that from building. That's like the main point of the cooling system. If the decay heat reaches to a point, that's what basically causes a meltdown. So the whole point is to keep decay down. Obviously, it's called decay heat for a reason. Decay is bad. So here's how the test was supposed to operate. The prep in three steps. One, it was supposed to take place during a scheduled shutdown. So this was something they were already going to do. They did this regularly. They always shut down at the end of the day. They were going to prep everything during a scheduled shutdown. They usually turn off the emergency cooling system at that time anyway, to lower everything. Step two, they were going
like power down situation.
It's a very gradual power down. Basically, they don't keep
the plant
running all hours of the day all day.
Right.
They have, like, there's three shifts that work there. There's a day shift, an evening shift, and a night shift. So there's people there all the time, but the plant doesn't run at full power all the time.
Right. You don't put your night shift guys on the day shift jobs.
Oh, which is about is going to happen.
Go ahead.
Sorry. So step two of the prep, the power. So this is where like the test really kicks in. The first thing we're gonna do their normal procedures. The power output of the plant was going to be dropped to a minimal, this is the minimal standing, of about 700 to 800 megawatts. That's like the minimal thing that it can operate at where it's like still functional. It doesn't need to be, because it doesn't need to be at full power for them to test the generators. But if they go any lower than that, it starts to get dangerous. That's where like things start to like decay, basically. And then step three, the steam turbines would be kept running at normal so it can test itself to make sure that it can bridge that gap of 60 to 75 seconds. I know. It's a lot of science. I'm sorry. But like, we have to know this.
Oh, God, I'm sawing logs over here, Professor Cody. What is going on?
I'm sorry. I know it's a different kind of episode. Hold on. I just got to get through this next part, and then I start trimming the fat. Okay? Come on. You're making me feel bad.
It's just so much.
I know, dude. I had to fucking read all this.
can you like sneak something exciting in there just to wake me up a little bit?
Let me just get past this next part.
Okay.
Okay. So the test itself, step one was to once the conditions were achieved, the steam supply from the turbine would be shut off because like once the diesel engines kick in, they would turn off the turbines.
Mm-hmm.
Turbine performance would be monitored to see if it was enough until the diesel generators kicked in. So obviously they're like, okay, did it generate enough electricity? Once the generators were supplying power to the turbine, they would let the turbines just wind down normally once the generators were on, and then they would finish the shutdown. End of story. Okay. That's supposed to be the test. It sounds boring because it's supposed to be fucking boring.
It's supposed to be boring.
It's supposed to be fucking easy steps. That was literally, there's four steps to the goddamn thing.
Yeah, because it's maintenance. Maintenance is boring. Maintenance.
Okay. So here's where everything went wrong.
Okay. Yay.
Okay. So the test. I've
been more excited for a disaster to happen.
Sorry. So the test itself was supposed to be conducted April 25th, 1986, by the day crew.
Right.
This was supposed to be a very early shutdown by the day crew because they were the ones trained to do all this. Mm-hmm. So they were thoroughly trained on the process and the test itself, and also had a backup of special electrical engineers to help them with this to make sure nothing went wrong. Okay. Here's what went wrong. During this, right before 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. 1:45.
Let's say 1:45. The Kiev electrical power plant, went offline and lost power. At 2 o'clock, they called the Chernobyl power plant saying, like, we need you to postpone the test because we need to get this back up and running to support the normal PM electrical, like, surge that happened.
Oh, shit. Work. My bad. This happened at 1:45 in the afternoon.
In the afternoon.
Oh, sorry. No, I was thinking of something else. You're right. Yeah. Okay.
So basically, they knew, like, is that two? They're like, okay, by the time we get back up and running, people are going to be getting off work, going home. That's when we get a big surge of electrical use, which is what we see here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They needed them to postpone it so they could support the surrounding area with electricity, not support the power plant and their shutdown. So the day crew was like, okay, we'll postpone it. But what they already did was they already started the prep by shutting off the emergency cooling system, which they did not turn back on.
That's wild, because I read it so differently. I heard the day shift was too busy doing what was recorded as menial tasks.
They did. They did a lot of that. So then the only thing they actually got to as far as the prep was shutting down the cooling system.
Oh, okay. So it was a little bit of both.
They did a lot of dumb shit throughout the day. They're like, okay, let's start the prep. They turned off the cooling system because they needed to start relying on the generators. And then Kiev called and was like, hey, stop it. Like, okay, cool. So instead of turning it back on, they all just left.
Yeah, because I heard it was like classic day shift behavior. Like, we have all these things to do, and they just make up things to do and leave all the real work for the night shift.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, after that point, the Chernobyl director agreed. The day shift clocks out. They never turn on the emergency cooling system.
Leave a fucking note, guy.
Right? The day shift transfers into the evening shift, which transfers into the night shift. The night shift doesn't start until midnight.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, the power plant, or the nuclear plant, has been running for almost like 11 hours without an emergency cooling system on. Not to say that it's not getting water pumped in, but like there's a lot of decay building up, which is not good. I read that like this wasn't super incremental to what happened, but like to me that sounds really bad, because it's like decay not being cooled properly and there's no backup, so whatever. But the notes I saw said like it was whatever. So where am I? Sorry, I've been jumping around so much. I'm like, where am I? Fuck my notes.
No, it's okay.
Okay, so the specific exact cause for what triggered the next few events is unknown. There was someone who may have known, but he died from the like nuclear poison fallout a couple weeks later and was never able to really like communicate it.
Perfect crime, like all the you know,
well, not that
the
he
perfect
not that he did it, but he may have known what.
No. Perfect crime was. Is in like he doesn't. He didn't get a chance to explain it. Yes, perfect crime yes, is like yes, there's yes. no witnesses is in the perfect crime.
But what
he was killed with an icicle, basically.
Exactly.
Like the murder weapon's gone.
But what we can say is that like all of these further steps could have been handled differently. If it wasn't for Dyatlov telling everyone to just ignore these signs and keep going.
Right.
So by the time we get to the night crew, these guys are not prepped for this test. They have no idea what's going on. They're literally reading through a manual as steps are following out. And like, okay, I don't know what to fucking do. Like, this thing says this. And Anatoly's behind them saying, like, ignore it.
It's such a large-scale Bhopal disaster. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like there's a problem during the day, and we're going to ignore that problem during the day, not knowing the repercussions of that problem, and leave it for whoever's there to fucking like come in after. Not say, hey, by the way, you should take a look at this later. Just letting him deal with it.
Exactly, and because Anatoly outranked everyone there. Even like the officers that were on duty, he outranked them. He was like one of the top brass. They all just had to go with it, even though a lot of them like saw the signs and like, yeah, this isn't right. He's just like, nah, just keep going. I'm gonna go smoke my cigarette. Like,
oh yeah.
So
don't smoke it too close, buddy.
Yep. So basically, from that point, this is where like I started to like lose it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I may be able to help too, because I think this is where I jumped in a little bit, but like, keep going.
So, like we said earlier, the minimal level of power was 700 to 800 watts. It dropped down so fast to roughly 5% of that. Mm-hmm. It dropped down to almost zero power being output. So it was a rapid decay of energy, super fucking quick, like faster than is even like known to be possible. And so at that point, the reactor basically started to poison itself.
Okay.
So at that point, they were already stuck in a loop. The decay is poisoning the reactor. Its fission is just decaying itself. So
yeah, it was like a fucking Mobius strip of destruction. It was terrible.
Like I didn't write it.
It was never-ending infinity of fucking let's destroy our own city.
Literally, like, and I didn't write down the elements involved because, like, I'm not a nuclear physicist, and neither the fuck is anyone else. So it was basically like fucking like ion 35 decaying fucking like zinc whatever. Like it was so fucking confusing.
Like, Cody, you could have named it Ion 69 and, like, had a little fun with it. It wouldn't have mattered.
It wouldn't have. But I was so, it was so frustrated.
Wait, Ion 69 and Ion 420 got a little involved.
We're blazing.
Yeah.
So, by this point, it was just too late. The crew did try to do multiple things to get things back to an even keel. They were trying to raise power levels. But at that point, it started to rise too quickly because then it basically just kicked in with the same energy the other direction. So power levels went from like basically fucking zero, skyrocketing. All the while, these steam turbines are going, still producing steam, which steam means pressure. The steam does absorb a bit of heat, which is supposed to help reduce the pressure, but not as much as the water pumps are supposed to. So it's a lot of heat building with a lot of steam, and the heat's building way too quickly.
Right.
Which is like, when you talk about nuclear meltdowns, it's like, just think about it literally, it's a meltdown, not an explosion. There's not supposed to be an explosion. It's supposed to be a fallout and a fucking meltdown. This thing literally fucking exploded. Which like kept so many officials in disbelief because they're like, this isn't possible. It's not supposed to happen. Like, this isn't a bomb. It's not dynamite. But it literally blew the fucking top off all the rods, fucking skyrocketed.
Right.
And yeah, that's where my brain stops working. So.
Oh boy. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Well, I really wish it continued because
okay,
I wish it, but honestly, like, that is so much process,
dude. That took me over 2 hours. Like,
I can't. I wanted to say this off mic, but I'm gonna say it on mic. Oh my god, I'm so impressed with you right now.
Unimpressed?
Impressed.
Oh, impressed. I was like, jerk.
I'm so impressed. And if you play the record back, I said impressed the first time. I am so impressed with you right now because that took so much focus and gumption to get through.
Dude, it was hard.
Do you wanna shake it off real quick?
Let's take a break. I need to pour a whiskey.
Yeah. Like all good physicists. Cody needs a shot right now.
I need a shot.
Because
okay, take a quick break.
If my brain's dead right now, your brain must be like literally 6 feet under.
Dude, it took me over 2 hours to fucking get through all that and like make it make sense to me.
Yeah.
And now I feel it all over it.
Yeah. You know, when you like learn so much that you're just, your brain just shuts down. Like you can't, your brain is so sated, it could not take another drop.
Yeah. It is done.
Yeah. Your brain OD'd, buddy.
Yep. All right. We're going to take a quick break and then it's all you.
Fine, I guess.
Okay. Bye.
Hey guys, this is Cody and CJ from Justice Time Machine. Just doing another shout out for our buddy Eli, who did our logo for the podcast. If you guys like what you saw with our logo and are looking for any kind of graphic design or logo work, he's really a reliable source to go to. It's ELIS_trashcan on Instagram. Really cool guy, really quick with his work and very talented. And you know, he'll work within your budget. He's very understanding and reasonable. So yeah, reach out to him if you guys need any work done. It's definitely worth it, and have a good one.
All right, hello.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Learning Stuff with Cody and CJ.
Yeah, welcome back to your nuclear course.
Yeah. This is the Masterminds course in nuclear fission.
You know what? Honestly, like, good luck with this one, Mark.
Like, yeah, dude, I don't even know where we're going to start. We talked a lot of shit at the beginning, but, like, I don't even know at this point.
There's
like,
a lot, and I don't know how Mark's going to, like, have time in his weekend in Vermont to like really do research on this. But
yeah, what is it? Oh, but when they said NSAG 7 report, they meant NSAG 6. Like, what the fuck are you gonna do? Like, this is so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, hopefully he'll just add a little of Mark's famous panache on the end of it, and like, we'll
like
get
his, it. His Britishness be like, you guys are just fantastic and you covered everything and goodbye. Like,
Yeah. He'll just handsome this episode to death, and we'll be done with it.
And we'll be done. Cool.
Yeah. Love it. All right. So Anatoly Dyatlov.
Yeah.
Anatoly Dyatlov. Anatoly Dyatlov in it.
Dyatlov in it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm Anatoly Dyatlov in it.
That's what they say for McDonald's over there.
Yeah. All right. So basically, he looked like if Charlton Heston fucked the Hitler mustache.
Ooh, kinda.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
I like that.
Yeah, okay. It looks a lot like Charlton Heston, like these damn dirty apes style Heston. And I say that not even realizing that the NRA went bankrupt today, which I'm really stoked about.
They did. What does that do with Charlton Heston? Like,
well, he was a big proprietor of the NRA. He was the voice of the redneck masses for a while.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. He's a piece of shit, and the NRA is a piece of shit. And to all our gun-toting redneck fans, go fuck yourself.
Well, that's kind of funny. Like, I think I've said this before, but if you've watched Bronson, and when Tom Hardy's character is choosing his name in that, and he wants to go with, he says Charlie, and he's like, his uncle's like, Charlie's like, you know, like Charleston Heston, and his uncle's like, no one gives a fuck about Charleston Heston. And he's like, you're more of a Charlie Bronson.
Yeah, bad actor, bad person, go fuck yourself.
And then it goes right in line. So.
There you go. We're good. We're on track. All right, so basically, he was not Charleston Heston, Anatoly Dyatlov. Yes. He was the supervisor of the safety test resulting in the Chernobyl disaster. Yes. So it was 1986, like we thought, like we discussed. I'm going to kind of backpedal a little bit. I'm sorry.
That's fine. You usually do.
But he was so sweet. You can be real sweet sometimes, Cody. So basically,
like in a good way. It's like a good like recap after the break.
Yes. I'm the record scratch, and then meanwhile,
I don't think it's like ever been more needed than in this episode, though.
Yeah,
that's true. Burnt out. Like, what did he just say?
Yeah. I'm just gonna every 30 seconds, I'm just gonna yell the word "fuck," and that will bring everybody back to Earth here.
Sweet.
So, he was charged with, and this is his actual charge: okay. Gross violation of safety regulations.
Agreed.
that was his charge, and this okay. is he was sentenced to death or 10 years because of his old age. And this is where it's kind of fucked up, and I don't think as effective a punishment. He was 55 at the time he was sentenced, and he was released in 1990, just 4 years after the sentencing, because of a heart condition that he had, of which he survived that heart condition 5 years later and finally died in 1995 at the age of 64.
What?
So he was sentenced to death and then released because he was sick, but it still took him another 5 years to die.
No, then you go back in.
Yeah, go back in. Like, yeah.
Well, also, did they just let him die of the heart attack in prison?
Like, no, it wasn't a heart attack. It was a heart condition.
Whatever.
Like, all right. Like, but it's like, if you make, okay, so it's like being on parole for dying. It's like saying,
you owe Charlie Manson, you have diabetes now? Okay, let him out.
Like, right. No, he was on parole for about to die, but he didn't actually die.
Whatever.
All right. Anyways, I just think it's a bullshit trumped up charge. No yeah, pun intended.
It's dumb.
Like, yeah. So anyways, Chernobyl, he fudged the safety test really bad. So Chernobyl is located in Pripyat, northern Ukraine. So northern Ukraine is right under Belarus.
Yes.
And it's only about 1,000 kilometers from, it's only 1,000 kilometers southwest of Moscow. And that's what was taken so seriously, because it literally escaped into Europe and Moscow.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And a lot of people took the fallout very seriously.
Yeah.
So the test, which was supposed to be executed during the day shift, like we talked about, it was actually, it was quoted saying that the day shift were doing meaningless tasks, as we discussed.
Yeah.
The test finally went off at 1:23 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that was MSD or Moscow time, which I found out Moscow has its own time, which is really fascinating.
Interesting. Okay.
So at this time, 1:20, yeah, Moscow. Yeah, exactly. And they get to, it's like North Korea's calendar is very similar to an advent calendar where you just pop one chocolate out a day.
Yeah, you pop, and all of the little like things that you pop open are just Kim Jong Il, and they're all the same picture, and each one is just a little chocolate out of his belly.
Yeah, and and that's the only chocolate you get for the entire month.
Mm-hmm. That's your ration.
Yeah, that's your ration of chocolate for the month.
Yeah.
All right. So basically, the power of the pump system was fueled by the backup diesel generators at this point. Mm-hmm. And the diesel generators started to slow, which caused water flow to decrease and steam to increase. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because, you know, as we all know, as humans, hot air needs to escape one way or another.
Yeah.
So Chernobyl, at this point, like with the diesel generators failing and the steam increasing, Chernobyl, the reactor was basically a human after a lot of carbonation.
Okay.
So the only difference was that Chernobyl had its mouth and asshole glued shut.
Oh, whoa, okay.
Because there was nowhere for the steam to escape.
So it's just like... He just made it like one person human centipede.
Yeah, it's a human centipede with its mouth with the front mouth and the back asshole glued shut.
Gotcha. I think one visible aspect that's really cool, like, so I mentioned it before, and I think Mark brought this up when we were talking about this season, the HBO show Chernobyl, which does a really good job of like showing this and the trial, and it's fucking it's amazing. But the lid,
we should watch that too,
dude. It's so good. The lid, if you want to call it a lid, that's on it is all of the what's the material, lead fuel, like the lead rods that like are supposed to be like moved and stuff. When this was all building up, the people watching it were just like watching fucking like all these rods like fucking fly up and down like individually.
Oh, I'll get into that. There's actually there's a really remarkable sentence from a gentleman who described that. So I'll tell you in a bit.
Okay, sorry.
So the control system that handled the failing of the all that shit you talked about in your segment.
Okay.
It was called Scala, which is like SKALA.
Okay.
And it is a machine automated system that recognized the increase of pressure, and it initiated a thing called a SCRAM, SCARM, or basically an emergency shutdown.
Okay.
So I didn't find the acronym for SCRAM, but there is one. But I just took it as get the fuck out of here, SCRAM.
Okay.
All right.
It's just like they kick it. They're like, "Hi, we're SCRAM."
Yeah.
Okay, say less.
Yeah. GTFO. I'm out, dude.
We're SCRAM, and this is our company buddy GTFO.
Yeah. Our failsafe is get the fuck out of here. Actually, you know, it's totally off topic, but I passed a deli today when I was in Newport at work, and the deli was called Ham and Scram.
Oh, that's amazing.
How cool is that?
That's amazing.
Like, get your sandwich and get the fuck out of here. I love it.
Get the fuck out of here. That's good.
I love it. I want to be friends with the owners so bad. So SCRAM protocol caused cooling rods, auto-generated cooling rods, to drop down into the reactors.
Aha.
And yeah, exactly. So they were to be activated, which even displaced the water level further. So the giant cooling rods made the water displace even further because the rods were a little hot and the water was a little cold. So this could even be further explained by a quote that was taken by one of the workers, which was, "We thought that would never have to, we thought we would never have to use the cooling rods."
Oh, shit.
Because, so they knew the rods would cause things to displace further, but they thought they never had to use those cooling rods.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's also, like, there's a downside to it, too, is, like, when you, fuck, they said this really well in the show, that, like, the second that they actually introduced the rods, also triggered a chain reaction, like, because things were already bad.
Exactly.
Because
the rods were made out of a graphite material, so when they dropped down in the water, they were fractured by the heat.
Yes, that's what it was. Yes.
So the heat in the tanks that the rods were there to cool didn't have enough water, and they were also too hot to handle the graphite couldn't handle the heat of the actual tanks, so they split in twain while they were going down. So it was a system that wasn't ready to protect itself because the idea behind it was inherently flawed.
Yes. So, okay. Two things I want to point out. One.
Okay.
If there's anyone out there who listens to all of our episodes, can someone please go in through them all and add up every time CJ says split in twain? Because he's the only person on the planet who says that. And he loves to say it. So
I don't think I've said it once before.
You say it all the time.
Well, I say it when I cut Mark Twain in half.
Anytime something gets split in half, you say split in twain.
I say it in twain?
Yes.
Well, would you prefer me to say, like, vivisected? Do you want me to
prefer you to sound like a normal person and just say cut in half.
Cut in fucking half, bro.
But you love
to say
split in twain, and I think you said it Well, I mean, we've talked about a lot of people getting cut up on this podcast, so you said it a lot, which I think is funny.
Well,
my second note, it's not a bad thing. I love it. My second note is the fact that these rods are made of graphite. Isn't that basically what pencil lead is?
It is exactly what pencil lead is made out of. So number like, two, baby.
Nuclear reactor. Yeah. Let's just shove giant number two pencils in there and exactly, think it's going to fucking do anything. This is exactly the point that I was talking about where the Russians were all about what the fuck is cheap. Pencil lead is fucking cheap.
Right. Like, they treated the reactor like it was a Scantron and only number two pencil lead could work on it.
Yeah. No other nuclear power at this time was using graphite rods. Like, it was just them. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Classic Russian. Let's put a pencil in it. they used pencils in space, too. That's right. Hmm. The Russian space program used to use number two pencils. Instead of anyways, point pens. Okay, so here's where things go from worst to Lemony Snickets.
Oh, great.
So, Murphy's Law fucking all over the place.
Okay.
So the first explosion.
That's what we should have called this podcast, Lemony Snickets.
Oh yeah, yeah. A series of unfortunate events.
That would have been good.
Yeah. Let's reappropriate and say this is where he got Jim Carreyed.
Yeah.
Cause he got weird and then got regular again. Okay, so the first explosion ruptured the fuel lines. Okay. So all the fuel started escaping in liquid and gas form depending on the heat transfer.
Okay.
And the also at that time the coolant lines were exploded too, and that led to the coolant going away from the reactor. So the reactor stopped cooling, and you know the fuel and the coolant went away from the reactor up and out.
Yes.
The second explosion, which happened just 3 seconds later, it broke the nuclear chain, causing isotope instability, which actually had the chemical reaction inside.
Okay.
So there's one explosion that happened with the fuel and the coolant, and the second explosion, that was actually the chemical reaction inside of the reactor.
See, and this is like back to what I was talking about earlier when I read that like the fact that the emergency cooling system was off for over 11 hours... The thing that I read was like, this had nothing to do with the events that would occur. And I'm like, that sounds like it had everything to do with the events that would occur.
The fucking weird part about Chernobyl is everything had everything to fucking do with each other.
That's what I'm saying. Like you can't, like, literally everything was a fucking domino effect. You can't say the fact that the emergency power was not a factor.
Well, let's keep pulling out these fucking Jenga pieces and continue. So that instability blew the building up and sent hot graphite into the air, which the graphite further exploded once being subjected to oxygen.
Oh, delicious.
So the fire, Cody, caught on fire.
The fire's on fire.
Hey, look at all this fire. Oh, shit, it's catching on fire.
Oh, that's great.
One employee actually reported the explosion as a really beautiful laser beam.
Yeah, dude. Do you have anything about the crowd?
Not that much. You can go into later if you want to.
Okay, I'll wait until later. Tell me when.
Okay, so after the fire caught fire, it caused five more fires to catch on fire.
Okay.
So the fire exploded and the fire caught on fire later. And 1:45 in the morning, the fire brigade showed up finally. Which is actually, I don't want to say finally. That's kind of rude. That was actually a really quick response.
Yeah, they did. The fire brigade should be
celebrated at this point. But the fire brigade was really naive when it comes to the situation because they didn't know what to do.
Well, yeah.
One fire person that picked up a hot Brigator? Rock of graph. Yeah, whatever you want. his name was he picked up a hot rock of graphite and dropped it immediately and said, oh shit, that's hot.
Yeah,
because they had no idea what they were dealing with.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he died later. Like,
well, that there's another person. He was the first person to arrive. His name is Vladimir Pravik. He died 2 weeks after the scene on May 9th from acute radiation sickness.
Imagine what the guy who touched and the most, fucking graphite. Like,
right. Most firefighters that showed up to the scene, knowing absolutely nothing about what the fuck was going on, died within literally a month.
Jesus.
Yeah, he picked up graphite and went, what? This isn't wood. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, so saying, yeah, they're at that point they're literally spraying their hoses into a fucking open hole into a nuclear reactor. Like,
right. And you don't even know what the water that you're putting something out with will affect what you're putting out. Like,
yeah.
You're
and,
so
well, and also like you they're talk you're talking about like the water from a fire truck in the fucking 80s, like the amount of water used in this cooling system was thousands of liters of water a fucking minute. Like,
right.
Those trucks aren't going to do shit.
Nothing. Because it already has a system of water, which is failing right now. So you're just adding more water. You're pouring water onto a non-water problem.
Yeah, exactly. You're not doing anything. It's like thinking that water. If water doesn't even put out like an oil fire,
right,
like you're not doing anything, like
right. If fucking Chernobyl was being waterboarded and somebody offered it a bottle of Arrowhead,
yeah, it'd be like, great, thank you, I'm so thirsty.
Cool, I don't need any more of this, sir.
Yeah.
So the evacuation took place at 2 p.m. after the entire town basically started barfing their fucking guts up. Mm. And it didn't take place at 2 p.m. the next day. It took place at 2 p.m. The 27th, which was 36 hours after the initial explosion.
Yes, exactly.
So there was a 36-hour response time.
Yeah. Well, okay, so they delayed it because, one, they were trying to, like, hide the fact that it even fucking happened. And they, like, after it fucking initially exploded and the firefighters got there, like, there was literally people fucking, like, crowding, not around it, but, like going to, like, viewpoints to watch, like,
Curious George. Curious George showed up and was like, hey, what's that all doing?
Yeah, well, you said it looked like a laser beam. It looked like the Northern Lights fucking shooting up into the sky. And people were fucking getting as close as possible to see it. And, like, and then, like you said, like, then they all started getting sick and puking their brains out.
it's like being from California. Like we see laser beams and we drive towards them and we show up and it's just Tustin fucking Marketplace. Like, what the fuck?
It's just the I know what's there. Having a fucking movie. Like,
yeah, there used to be a fucking Virgin Records and now there's not anymore. I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
like showing up to bullshit.
Well, and
anyway, so let me
get goes to the gross incompetence of the government though, like that waited 36 hours to even start telling the people to get the fuck out because they couldn't even fucking admit that something went wrong. Like,
well, they didn't really know what went wrong, but they knew it was wrong, and that should alone cause an evacuation.
Yeah,
but let me just get into these numbers, and
we'll go.
We'll put a little bow on it real quick.
Okay.
Not a bow, I'm sorry, a toe tag. So 68,000 people were finally evacuated. There was 15 cases of childhood thyroid cancer. Mm. There was 134 surviving staff and firemen, which most were diagnosed with acute radiation syndrome. 28 of them died within a week. There were 4,000 dead in the nearby counties and 16,000 dead across Europe with acute radiation poisoning. And at this point, like, I'm kind of like, I just want to quote a couple things real quick. So an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Benjamin Franklin. All things are ready if our mind be so. Shakespeare. The wise are superb observers. Philo of Alexandria. Fucking measure twice, cut once, my fucking dad. Like, what more do you need to be prepared in a situation like this? Look before you jump, Anatoly, you piece of fucking shit.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's fucking bad, dude. And, like, just to also blame the government at the time, too, like, this didn't become worldwide known until these radiation levels hit Sweden.
Right.
is when the fuck it's Sweden was like, hey, planet, something's going on over in Russia. Like, so Russia literally tried to cover it the entire time. They're like, we will admit nothing. And then Sweden was like, no, I see you. Like,
you can't fall asleep on a job like this, buddy. Like, you just can't.
No, you can't.
And I'm sorry, like, as a working person, I'm sorry to be so hard on somebody, but Jesus fucking Christ, man.
No, it's fucking ridiculous. And like, there are still reports to this day about how many people were really affected. Like, there's so many cancer subjects like coming up in the modern era that are like, is this because of this?
Right.
Like, you know, there's still areas in like surrounding areas where like water isn't even drinkable and people live there.
It's the same thing with fucking like 9/11. Like the firefighters and policemen, the heroes that showed up on 9/11, they don't always die the next day.
No.
Sometimes they die 10 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later, but they still die because of that negligence of a community saying we won't protect these people. Like, go fuck yourself. Well, like if you were on the scene, like you deserve to be protected.
Well, what did we say during the Bhopal episode? Like we in that episode we're talking about families that were living there today and the water was still poisonous.
Right.
And it's still affecting them. Like what the fuck do you think is going on in Pripyat in Chernobyl? Like
dude, what do my taxes pay for if they don't pay for me not dying for no reason?
Well, in Soviet Russia, like that was not what you paid for. Like
you paid
the state to be the state.
There is such a fucking disconnect when it comes to like fucking just being civil and being respectful of like those that live in your community. Like, I'm sorry. I'm going to stop myself now because I'm going to go on a whole liberal tangent and I know. But there are more important things than the fucking like
a facade, face.
Dude. Yeah. Like there's more important things than a building.
Well, and it's Soviet called Russia a human during life. That time was a lot about like about their outward appearance, and it was a lot about saving face. To wrap this up a little bit, because we're not going to do a third part on this one because it's very cut and dry. And like you already said, Anatoly died in 1995 at age 64 of acute radiation, which caused heart failure. So he died of the radiation poisoning. And for anyone questioning like the severity of what Chernobyl was, it's estimated today that Chernobyl will not be habitable for another 20,000 years. Like that's how much radiation is in that fucking soil. Like literally empires will rise and fall before people can fucking live there again. And hopefully history still tells it so people don't fucking live there on accident. Like,
so there's two different ways to handle it, right? There's Chernobyl, which is, you know, communists, and there's Fukushima, like Japan, where the reactor blew at Fukushima, and there's if we're gonna have like a candlelight at the end of this vigil, let's have this, which is like the elderly folks of Fukushima actually started this thing where they started pushing into the city to figure out the levels of radiation because they were elderly and they had a much shorter time on Earth than the people in the surrounding communities. So they sacrificed themselves being closer to death to discover the actual radiation poisoning of Fukushima. So there's two ways to handle it.
Yeah.
Do you plant a tree now and have that tree bear fruit for your your children and their children's children, or do you cut the tree down to save face? And well, I think that Russia did it wrong in the fallout period and Japan did it right.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And I think like you're talking about the difference between like one, the 80s versus 2011 when the Fukushima one happened.
I don't remember, but
and
yeah, maybe
two in a communist state is where you sacrifice everything for the state.
Right.
That's your role. So
yeah, but the state is a person.
The state, owes you nothing.
Yeah,
like they're the state.
Well, but and I don't fucking owe the state nothing either. Like I don't fucking owe them anything.
Well, that's what communism is.
Yeah,
like you owe the state everything, and the state gives you minimal protection. Like,
I'm just gonna. Sorry, Cody. I'm just gonna. If you can give me a second, I'm grumbling over here. I don't know the state shit. I don't want shit. I don't fucking need shit. I don't get the fuck out of here.
But I kid you not. If you and I'll, you know, I don't think you have HBO Max, but I'll give you my login after this. If you anyone who has HBO Max, if you have not watched the Chernobyl show, I will fucking advocate for it. It's four episodes. It's not even fucking long. It's four fucking episodes, and it's fantastic. And it has a great cast. It has it's led by fucking what's his name? Something Skarsgård, the father of Alexander Skarsgård.
Alexander?
Well, he played Pennywise. It's his dad who was in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's fucking great. It's so good. It covers this so fucking well. And the main guy, he plays the advocate against the state of like trying to make communist Russia know that they did something wrong. If you've watched Sherlock Holmes, the second one with Robert Downey Jr., he's the guy who plays Moriarty, the villain in it. He's
it's been a while. I don't remember.
You know when you see him, he's got a very unique voice and a face, and he's fucking fantastic. The show's great. Watch it, and then everything we've just talked about will make sense.
Okay, great. Yeah. And that's an opportunity for a sponsor to hop in here, too. HBO Max.
HBO Max. Like, yeah. You have great shows. Yeah. They're so good.
Yeah. What have we talked about today? Walmart? Well, I don't want your sponsorship. Never mind.
No.
Ham and Scram. If we could be... No, I want to be sponsored by Ham and Scram.
Oh, Ham and Scram, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down for Ham and Scram.
Oh, Ham and Scram, dude. Fuck
just
yeah.
Pay me in sandwiches.
Yeah, that's right, dude. Hell yeah. Pig and GTFO.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up. We're going to pass it off to Mark. Same old stuff. You know where to find us. Leave the comments.
Yeah. Give us like something, you know,
just something, anything,
like just something, anything, like, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just give us some Ham and Scram.
Poke saying hello. Like,
yeah.
Hello.
I wish there was like a poke for like Gmail or something like that.
There's no pokes.
Yeah, pokes, you know?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Just give me a little Gmail poke.
We love you guys. We'll see you next time.
All right, bye everybody.
Hi everybody, thanks for joining us on another episode of Justice Time Machine. We appreciate it very much so. I want to take this opportunity to also appreciate another person. I hope that line of logic followed. His name is Johnny Niddle, and he is the person responsible for doing all of our music. He did our theme song, he does all the transitions, and we couldn't be happier with his work. We think it's like absolutely wonderful. It's one of the greatest things that's happened to our podcast since it started. It's actually sounding much more professional and just all around better. So you should absolutely give him your business. Go to johnnyrk.com. That's Johnny RK, JohnnyRK.com. Or you can find him on all social media at Johnny RK. Go to Johnny Niddle. Give him your money. He deserves every penny. Thank you, Johnny, and we'll see you next time.
First of all, I want to point out that so far this season, we have recorded four episodes that were my idea. I can't remember if it was last week or the week prior when it was suggested by Cody that so far, I've only had one good idea. As your truth-seeking co-pilot on this podcast, I am here to state the facts. When I raised this with CJ following the episode and pointed out the inaccuracy in their storytelling, I was told, "That's showbiz, baby." And what I'm really driving at here is if I want to take my goddamn holiday weekends in Vermont, you better believe that I'm going to do so. Because so far this season, I've been carrying Justice Time Machine on my wiry British shoulders. The National Research Center for Radiation Medicine, or the NRCRM for short, based in Kiev, Ukraine, describes the Chernobyl disaster as the largest anthropogenic disaster in the history of mankind. Anthropogenic meaning the environmental pollution originating from human activity. And it really says a lot about a man-made disaster when the situation can be assessed as the two plant workers who died on the night of the catastrophe, in hindsight, actually suffered the least out of anyone else involved. Which is exactly how Marko Margaritov describes events from the world-famous accident in an article on allthatsinteresting.com. Such was the nature of the meltdown that the locals living closest to the power plant received internal radiation doses in their thyroid glands that were up to 37,000 times the dose of a chest X-ray. And the explosion produced the equivalent of over 10 of the atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima. Hiroshima. Okay, there is no denying Anatoly Dyatlov's calamitous error in judgment and failure to follow the most basic safety protocols on the fateful night of April 16th, 1986. However, it has been seriously suggested that the order coming from Moscow to perform such a risky experiment in the first place was both unnecessary and ill-advised. As CJ and Cody explained this week, the rare combination of water coolant and graphite moderators made the Chernobyl power plant unstable at low power. So getting a request to turn the machine off and cut it from power for an experiment was an exercise in futility from the get-go. On top of this already burning tire fire, the initial design of the Chernobyl power plant was not even close to being foolproof. For example, there was no containment structure, which would have provided additional protection in the event of a leak or reactor failure. And it wasn't until 2016 that one was finally put in place to cover the exposed epicenter, so that robot cranes could begin dismantling the radioactive wreckage beneath. I've tried really hard on some episodes not to play devil's advocate, mainly because we've qualified all of the subjects of our episodes as worthy of being brought to justice, so don't read this as me breaking from rank. However, something that Dyatlov said after receiving his 10-year sentence for criminal negligence really stuck with me. What happened at Chernobyl was what always happens in these cases. The investigation was carried out by the very people who were responsible for the faulty design of the reactor. If they had admitted that the reactor had been the cause of the accident, Dyatlov mused, then the West would have demanded the closing down of all other reactors of the same type, which would have dealt a huge blow to the whole of the Soviet industry. For me, at least, in a lot of respects, it feels almost impossible to argue with that logic. But as I believe it was CJ reconfirmed, it's also impossible to deny Dyatlov's involvement and incompetence. The first responders at Chernobyl, which were mostly local firemen, were exposed to anywhere between 800,000 and 16 million microsieverts of radiation. To put that into context, because who the hell knows what a microsievert is, anything above 7,000 will cause instant radiation poisoning and death within 2 weeks. And these guys were exposed to 100 times that amount. And on the low end. So the disaster at Chernobyl, in my opinion, and I think that's what you tune in for every week, but it's the perfect example of something happening for the first time in history. And then even now, some 35 years later, scientists, health experts, academics, and journalists alike are still trying to measure the impact in their respective ways. They certainly were not capable of dealing with the disaster then, and to me, it's plausible to suggest that we wouldn't be capable of dealing with it now. It's very easy to forget, but natural radioactivity is all around us. We get it from the sun, in our soil, in our food, And when we're cruising in an aeroplane at 40,000 feet, we're being exposed to a much higher dosage of it as we're less protected by the Earth's atmosphere. On average, our annual radiation dosage in the US is 6.2 millisieverts, which is comprised of background and medical radiation. I certainly hope that nobody ever experiences anything more than that ever again. Until next week, take care of one another and be safe.